The Startup Capital Podcast is brought to you by Cuddlesoft, the idea-driven developers. For more, visit www.cuddlesoft.com. Thank you.
Businesses pour tons of time, energy, and resources into finding and attracting the best talent in the world. Especially in technology, where innovation is key to growth, recruiting is a top priority. That's why talent is the focus of Episode 4 of the Startup Capital Podcast. Tallahassee businesses, as we've found out in over a dozen interviews with city leaders, have trouble hiring tech talent, despite the presence of two major universities and a world-class community college. To explore this topic, we invited Jay Revel from the Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce and E. Brandery, Associate Dean of FSU's College of Communication and Information, to figure out how local businesses can capture even a fraction of the thousands of talented students who graduate every year. Stay tuned for Episode 4, Season 2 of the Startup Capital Podcast.
You have a slight advantage when you're from Tallahassee.
I love Tallahassee.
We already have successes. We just have to continue to communicate the successes.
I love Tallahassee.
Feel that it's that the, you know, sum is greater than its parts, I think could be more true for the city of Tallahassee.
I love Tallahassee.
I want it to be the change I wanted to see.
Obviously, we want to be the business capital of Florida.
I love Tallahassee.
I think millennials are really interested in business models that are both socially impactful as well as profitable.
I love Tallahassee.
I think, you know, it takes government, private sector, nonprofit sector, students like yourself, the startup community, all kind of pulling the rope in the same direction to get there.
I love Tallahassee.
I love Tallahassee. It's the startup capital.
All right, we're here for Episode 4 of Startup Capital, Season 2 of the podcast about building a startup community in the capital city of Florida, Tallahassee. We're here to talk today about inputs and outputs and what does it take to build a startup community. One of the major inputs into that system is talent. It's people. At the end of the day, if you're going to build a company or build a community, people are the building blocks. It's one thing that comes up a lot in Tallahassee is calling brain drain. Some people call it talent retention. You can really call it whatever you want. A lot of people would call it a challenge here in Tallahassee, and we're here today to talk with Jay Revel, Vice President of the Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce. How you doing, Jay?
Very well. Glad to be with you, man.
It's good to have you. And also Ebe Brandery, Associate Dean of the College of Communication and Information, otherwise known as Ebe. How you doing, Ebe?
Thanks, Lucas. Good to be here.
Yeah. Good to have you guys here. I'm wondering if you would agree, Ebe, kick off with you. Would you agree that talent retention in Tallahassee is a challenge?
Definitely. I think that we've been fighting this for years as an issue in our area. We have a lot of people working in state government. We have the second biggest employer is the universities, FSU, Florida A&M, TCC. But students, when they graduate from all of our amazing programs, don't think of Tallahassee as home or as a talented place. Partly that could be because we have students that come from South Florida as a bulk of their draw. So a lot of them want to go back either to South Florida or to other places in the country outside of Florida. But that's always a challenge in keeping those students in Florida and even specifically keeping them in Tallahassee. And there's been lots of initiatives both at the university to counter some of that and even through the chamber and other agencies
right.
to do that.
Yeah, and we're going to talk, I think, about a lot of those initiatives. Jay, I'm wondering, you agree? I mean, is it a challenge from where you sit?
I absolutely agree, and I think Ebe used the right phrasing based on, you know, just kind of my belief and experience in this is we have to change the way that students / young talented individuals think about Tallahassee. I'm kind of from that school of thought that if you really want to have an impact in how people react to something, you have to change the way they think about it. When I had the great pleasure of working for County Commissioner Daley back when I first got my career started, and like day two on the job, I'll never forget this. He said something along the lines of, "It's not who you know, it's who thinks of you and why." And that really pertains to quite a lot of things. And if you think about this talent discussion through that lens, I think it's an important way to look at it, because every time a student comes off of this campus, the odds of them staying in Tallahassee is going to be greatly determined by how they perceive the community and how they think of us. When they think Tallahassee, what are the immediate flashpoint reactions that come behind that name,
right.
Tallahassee?
So it's, what has been their first impression?
Yeah.
How do they think about the city and why you're saying it's important?
I mean,
how do you think, Ebe, that students think about Tallahassee? Do they even think about Tallahassee?
Well, I think, you know, if you go within a 2-3 mile radius of campus, that's where they usually hang out. And then a lot of them don't go out of that bubble, and they stay in that area. I mean, we've done some initiatives like Cascades Park is great. They actually go there now, so they're moving out. They may go to Tom Brown. So I think students don't really emerge from that downtown area, that bubble. And I think what's even worse is, I'm afraid with all the housing and gains and stuff like that, they're going to have all their entertainment right near campus, that they're just going to stay there and not really move around. So I think it's a challenge to get them past that. When I talk to students about going up to the something just north of the I-10, that's like really far.
It's a whole world away.
Cary Forest is like South Georgia. And, you know, they just don't perceive that as an area. So what happens is over time, they have a great time on campus. There's a lot of things surrounding campus for them. Businesses gravitate to that area. But then they don't get to experience Tallahassee in full. I think that's just an ongoing challenge. It's getting a little better. We have a little bit of a young population now that is actually staying and seeing some jobs in the area. But I still think we've got a way to go.
So we need to pull people off campus. Like you said, get them out of the bubble. You know, I have a student that I work with over at Doman. He clearly doesn't get off campus or within a couple miles of campus that often, because he mentioned me the other day. He said, I feel like Tallahassee is a city where you don't even have to own a car, which is actually a cool thing. But it just goes to show that he lives his whole life in and around campus. And so I think you're starting to see that, too, and people living a whole life along Gaines Street. I know that, Jay, you mentioned to me before that you feel like people who are coming into school now are experiencing a whole different, you know, generation of the city, and that's increasing every year, every 3, every 4 years, you know.
Yeah, I was sitting here listening to Ebe, and you made, you know, all the great points about getting people out of the bubble. And it's interesting because I think part of a real deliberate and intentional strategy that our community has had in the last decade is, okay, if we can't get them out of the bubble, let's change what they experience in the bubble. And what you've seen with this sort of, you know, you think of the collection of projects and investments from a Cascades Park to a Gaines Street all the way into really what is now this college town built environment, where, to your point earlier, their entertainment options are better than ever. I mean, one thing I think we had talked about earlier, Lucas, was that if you think about it, the student population in Tallahassee is, you know, 60,000 people at any given moment, and every 4 to 5 years, that entire population turns over, essentially. So the amount of time that it takes to totally change the perception of about a fifth of our population in the community is only 4 years. That's an incredible thing to really think about.
Well, that's an opportunity.
It is a huge opportunity. Right. And I think what we've done is with this focus of sort of changing the experience in the bubble, we have now created an environment that is so radically different from what I experienced when I lived in the bubble as a student at Florida State just, you know, a decade ago. I mean, it's just unrecognizable. And so the student that comes here today, to your point about your the person that's working at Domi with you, saying that, oh, I feel like you don't even have to have a car here. There's this great built, walkable, urban environment around the campus, and it's really lovely, and there's all these entertainment options. That was not the reality not very long ago. And so if you think of it from that context, and you think, okay, well, what are we going to do in the next decade to continue changing that perception? You know, in two cycles of students coming through the campuses, you can have an entirely different way of thinking within the student population. So I think knowing that we need to change the way they think, it's also good to know that there are huge opportunities in which to do that.
Right. So I think quality of life and the perception, changing perceptions, is obviously a huge input into the decision for someone to stay. but it would be hard to have this conversation without talking about jobs. You know, opportunities, whether it's an internship, part-time or full-time work in the community. Ebe, I know you work hard all day, every day to try and place people in great careers, not just locally, but all over the world. Florida State outputs great talent to companies all over. But what do you see when it comes to trying to place student into a job locally?
Well, I think it's been challenging. Clearly, you know, we don't have Fortune 500s in town, and we don't have a list of large employers who are bringing in 70, 80, 100 people every semester. We do have a lot of state government, and we do have the educational institutions, the three big ones, and we do have a healthy community in technology and communications and in other industries. So I think that there are pockets of successes in the area. I think of, you know, even small startups that are, you know, 20, 30 people that could be 100 people in a couple of years. I think there's a lot of opportunity we have in there, and we've developed some really good businesses. A lot of our businesses locally actually do work all the way out of the country or even outside of the state. It's very little of their work is in Tallahassee.
Sure. What are some of the businesses or successes that you have seen locally that you've worked
with? Well, we've got a lot of in the communication industry, you know, Taproot, Boston, RB Oppenheim, Saks, Salta Mitchell. All of them have operations in town, but all their business is outside of town. You know, they've got some great agency work doing that. Even our technology companies, you know, DCI is great. Datamax is awesome, you know. They're doing some great work, but their clients are all over the place. They're not in Tallahassee. That's part of our challenge, is to convince students that you could live here and work for some companies and your business may be all over the country. We've done a lot of good initiatives, I think, and the local businesses are very eager to help in this.
Right.
They see this as a challenge also.
One thing you always hear, right, is that from business side, hey, we don't have access to enough students. We can't find people to fill these jobs that meet the qualifications, that are as talented as we need. And then from students, you hear the sort of opposite, that there are no good jobs. I can't find any companies.
And it's an awareness issue, clearly. So, you know, the university has an event called Seminole Futures. About 160, 180 companies come twice a year. Those tend to be national brands. One thing we started in the college about 8 years ago was our own career fair, targeted only at local companies, to bring those companies, 40 to 50 of them, to an event and then have students come learn about them. And that's where a lot of the students start their internship process and then learn of these employers in the area. And that's been successful. We have a slew of companies who support us every semester of those events.
Yeah. Do you have information or data on how many students,
About 20% of the students who get engaged in their process tend to stay locally once they're aware of the opportunities. A lot of them still have this perception like, this is a good starting thing, and then I'm going to go someplace else afterwards. I can get some good training here. And some of the companies have to do a little better at maintaining that talent and keeping it here, providing those opportunities. If they use it as just this great internship pool, then those kids are going to leave and go away.
Sure. So, Jay, a couple questions wrapped up in that, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, Ebe's hit on some great points. How do we show the strengths that we have locally? What might those be from the perspective of the business community and the chamber?
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. You know, Ebe, I think you always have to pivot to your strengths if you want to be able to successfully navigate through the world. And I think one of our greatest strengths is your ability to make an impact at a very young age, whether you're talking about in a community, whether you're talking about with a company. That is the reality that I've experienced in Tallahassee. You know, I'll turn 30 years old here in a few months, and I have had nothing but just continued opportunities to participate, make an impact, really roll up my sleeves and get to work on some really cool community-wide and organizational
things
opportunities.
With big impact.
Yeah, things with big impact.
You know, that resonates with me too. Yeah. I mean, I'm 28 years old and able to lead an organization, right, in this community and have been embraced by that community. So
resonates. I think we have a community that has continued to show that they will bend over backwards, particularly the business community, will bend over backwards to give people an opportunity to show themselves and prove themselves if you make it clear that that's what you're looking for. And, you know, I think of it, again, you do a lot of reading about millennials and what they're looking for today, and a lot of it kind of boils down to they want to make a difference. They want to make an impact. And I continue to believe that Tallahassee provides an opportunity where you can reduce the intervals in which you can grow your sphere of influence. What I mean by that is the amount of time that it requires for you to become increasingly influential in a community is going to be larger and larger depending on the size of that community. So those intervals in Atlanta are going to be massive on scale compared to those intervals in a place like Tallahassee.
So my question for you, though, is if those opportunities exist, and we agree that they do, mm-hmm. how, at a nuts and bolts level, how do we connect students to businesses for that first step to show them
sure.
that this is here? What is the pathway to that?
Absolutely. So this just has shown itself time and time again to me, is that you have to sort of be able to micro-target the people that you're trying to bring into the fold on this, right? So if we look at the entire student population, I think you said earlier when we were talking, there's, I don't know, 8,000 or 9,000 graduates a year that leave, or not leave, but come off of our campuses, right?
Right, across Florida State,
with a degree, right?
Yep, exactly.
So of that population, how many of them do we actually have a chance at? And so I think we continue to try to measure our success versus the entirety of that population. When, to your point earlier, Ebe, you've got people from all over the globe, all over the state, who have friends, family, ambitions, careers waiting on them in other places. There's just a very large part of that population that graduates every year that's not really looking to be in Tallahassee. So
it sounds like from Ebe's experience, about 20% managed to stick
right.
around.
Okay, so let's take that number and extrapolate that across that population. I want to know how well we're doing on that 20%. I want to know, are we getting the touches that we need with that portion of the student population to make sure that if they're interested in Tallahassee, that we're hitting them with all the information that they need to take that from an interest to something that they're going to act upon. And the message to our employers in that conversation is one and the same. We want our employers to be able to have access to that 20% versus the entire population. And if you go looking against the entire population for your talent, you're going to miss them. I'd rather give you a hyper-focused micro-targeted group that your odds of success go up. I like playing games with good odds versus games
sure.
with bad odds.
Sure. I mean, if you think about just best practices in sales and marketing, find your target market, find the people who are in the right mindset, and you drill down on that micro-target. So that makes a lot of sense. And I think that the program that comes to mind when I think about micro-targeting this group of people that are perhaps predisposed to wanting to stay is the Job Hop. And that's a event or program that both of you had touch points with. Ebe, how did that program originate? And what do you view as the mission of it?
Well,
we'll pivot back to the Chamber because I know that they have a big role in that program now.
And actually that started before it even had a name. One of the things we were doing over the number of years, a couple of different things. One is we bring local companies on campus and into classrooms. I think if Dome East Asian walked in and sat down in a classroom and talked to a group of students in their third year or fourth year about things they're doing and projects and things like that, students say, oh, yeah, we got to go check that out. So the sooner you get to the target population. So we started doing that over a number of years, bringing companies in. We also, as part of some of our initiatives with women, is getting our students out to more communication to talk to the CEO, out to Onyx when it was around to talk to them, out to some of these female businesses, the pod. So they would then talk to business leaders, CEOs of these companies in their organization saying, I made Tallahassee home and here's why. Or, you know, go to a Taproot and have them talk to Sean about why Sean stays in Tallahassee. And he talks about his business and his investments in the community. So not only did we bring them on campus and into classrooms and to career fairs, we also went out to their things and we take 10, 15 students on tours so they could say, talk to these CEOs, talk to them. You know, we'd go visit Mainline and other places.
So they get a touch point
and they actually get to see the facilities and they get to see some of the employees and talk to them. And they get to say, well, hey, you know, I didn't know you even existed. So that's one part. But also they're out in the community, but also they're seeing these things. And in that process, they're exchanging resumes and talking. So we've been doing that for a number of years. But it was always not really the target group, not really asking them, do you think you're going to stay in Tallahassee? So we were just saying, hey, come be aware.
First come, first serve. They
Pretty
would
much.
Sign up for something. Right. And then it evolved into something new.
And then, you know, working with Lester, who was instrumental in some of this at DCI, was he wanted to, his challenge was, yeah, I meet a lot of these students and they intern and they leave. I want students who tell me they want to stay in Tallahassee. So he created a forum where students could sign up, and they had to say, here's my resume and portfolio on LinkedIn. I want to stay in Tallahassee if there's an opportunity. So they had to indicate that. And I think the first round we did with IT, we had about 55 people sign up, and we picked the top 25 who had said that and had actually great resumes and companies. And the people who made the decision were the local companies on the tour who said, yeah, these are the people we want to talk to. And we brought them in, you know, in vans with the chamber's participation to a couple of those companies. And that ended up with, I think the last count, it was 8 out of the 25 stayed in Tallahassee. So that was a good start. And then the next semester we did it with communication, and then we did something with accounting, I think, not too long ago. And it's being, the chamber's now taken it on and now moving it across different industries, because all the other companies in town saying, hey, you know, what about us? We want this and we want to be able to do this. And you're bringing that target focus group to me, and then I can showcase my business, and then maybe some of them will stay or be interested. So it's actually been a really successful initiative, and I think we need to do more of that, but it's harder with all the different industries now who want to be part of it.
Right, and nearly all of the staff that Domi has come through referrals from professors. It's come from us giving presentations in class. But so, Jay, I mean, what is the impact that you've seen from Job Hop, and why would the chamber take that event on?
Yeah, so, you know, I we've talked about this offline before, right? You know, the idea of systems versus goals. I'm a big systems thinking person, and the Job Hop to me, you know, again, if you said this to the pessimistic, non-systems thinking person, that, oh, we got 8 people to stay here in Tallahassee, they go, okay, what, you know, what's the big deal, right? But what, and this is where the chamber comes in, what a system thinking process has to its advantage is that if you can get 8 people once or twice a semester, every semester over time, and each one of them becomes, to your point again, a word-of-mouth warrior, right? So when they're talking to their friends who might still be in school, or they're talking to their friends who live in another community, and they're saying, yeah, I've got some really amazing opportunities that are happening for me here in Tallahassee. Maybe you should come take a look yourself. That's how you build, you know, the critical mass you need of people who are constantly out advocating for your community, that are the ambassadors that you need sort of on the ground level to make that changing of ways of thinking happen. And where the chamber kind of steps in, you know, we've been around for now 94 years. Sustainability is kind of what we do as far as an organization. I went through a great pleasure a few years ago of going through the process of being a Knight Creative Communities Institute catalyst here in town. Great organization. And one of the things they always try to preach to the people as they're going through that training is coming up with something new and shiny is great, but you need to come up with a way for it to be sustainable, for it to ever really have a long-term community impact. And that's kind of what we do, I think, better than a lot of organizations in Tallahassee, is we are really good at trying to figure out how to make those things sustainable. And when the Job Hop kind of got going with Lester's efforts, we were invited to tag along and take a look at it. And, you know, within a few hours of being on the first one of these, we're just kind of looking at each other internally going, yeah, this is the kind of work that our resources match up perfectly with. And if we can keep this sustainable, we can have a long-term impact that really matters.
Right. Well, what's exciting is that it's now created, like you said, a program that will be there for the long haul, mm-hmm. and creates a reliable system that folks like Ebe can continue to rely that it's going to be there. They can refer people to it. And it's nice that it's executed by an outside organization like the Chamber. It's funny, in a way, you sort of acquired a startup program. It had a lot of organic support. It had attracted this initial early adopter in Florida State, and you're the big corporate that came in and took it over.
Yeah, that's it, right?
But it actually, you know, sustainability, it does help. And it also is nice to see the chamber as a partner, that because from a student perspective, they see, yeah, the school doing things before, but now they see the chamber saying, hey, we're part of this, which is something, once again, if you asked every student, like, what is the chamber and what do? They couldn't tell you that. But they've got to go through the chamber's website to register and do things. And they go, oh, what is this, as they click around. So it's another sphere of influence that they were not even aware of. And they start going, oh, let me check this out.
And part of that, too, you know, I was going to use this reference earlier, but it's about amplifying, right? Sometimes I like to say, you know, you got to simplify and amplify. boil it down to the key points, and then really turn up the volume, and then amplifying it out into the marketplace. And hopefully, you know, again, you do that enough over time, those systems start to kick in and generate results
right,
in your favor.
Right, you get that 20%, that 30%.
Right.
That becomes a
like compounding
thing.
Interest.
Every
yeah.
year, exactly, yeah. So I want to pivot a little bit, Eve, and ask you a question from the university perspective. FSU, I mean, it has a statewide mission, a U.S.-wide mission, but you know, it has an international mission. It's a large-scale organization. It's a city in its own right in terms of population, administration, and systems. Should the university really prioritize or value local placement? How does it play into well, the university's goals, would you say?
You know, if you see the university moving up the rankings, which they have been, and moving up in U.S. News and all these kind of things, you know, growing their global ranking and their global presence and attracting people to it, they're doing that by showcasing the best things they're doing. Research that's coming out of university, placement rates and employment rates of students as they get out. Hey, we have people coming out getting jobs and being hired. So those kinds of things are what they're using in those rankings. Then its mission is to place people in the best possible locations and have them flourish, and that brings back reputation to the university. That being said, we're a state agency, right? A state university. We're not a private university. We run on public money. So my job is to make sure that we're giving value back for the dollars we're being invested in us. To me, that's the state of Florida. The state of Florida and its taxpayers are funding me and funding our mission. So my goal is how many of those jobs are being created in Florida? So it helps us locally, helps me personally, but I think from being a public university, our mission is to the state of Florida, to its taxpayers.
Right.
So I definitely want to see us doing that. University has a wider mission, and I think we can do both in some way. Like I said, if we give enough money to these companies, maybe they'll, you know, figure out a big thing and come move to Florida, because that would be great too. And we're doing some great things. I mean, you know, we've just had, you know, Hertz move its headquarters to Fort Myers, and Gartner has a great reputation and company down there. JP Morgan's in Tampa. Deloitte's got some things in Orlando that they're moving down. Those are still places in Florida I'd like to see, like, hey, XYZ Corporation moved here and something. So we can do that. I mean, we have the talent. There's no doubt we have talented students, talented alumni, talented community members. We have that talent in Florida. How do we, once again, on a bigger mission, get everybody aware of those opportunities here and get them here? But I think it all plays into one mix. We want to get our students hired, but all over the place.
And we're starting to have the businesses right. locally here, too. I mean, right. if you think about a company like HWIN getting acquired by RMS,
right.
Now you have a multinational corporation that moved, opened a new office in the Tallahassee market. They hire graduate-level, master's, PhD-level graduates. They love people that come out of Florida State's meteorology. Those are high-wage jobs opening up just on Gain Street, right in the middle of everything. So to the extent that we can grow that, we can create those opportunities. Jay, how do you think, what do we need to do to increase that Florida placement rate?
I think you've got to be incredibly intentional. You know, it's sort of like if you're trying to get a prom date, you know, you're not going to get one if you don't ask anyone. And you have to be very deliberate and intentional about communicating to the world that you're open for business, that you're friendly to business, and that you want their business. I think it would be fair to say, if you ask some people, that Tallahassee didn't always answer those in the affirmative for a long time. Let me put it this way. It goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's not who thinks of you. It's why they think of you. And when people think of Tallahassee, we need them to be thinking of this as a community that businesses are moving to, that they're starting in, maybe even more importantly. Again, if you go to the idea of pivoting to your strengths, look at what we've done in the last few years when it comes to entrepreneurship. We're getting ready to take a trip with the Chamber of Commerce to Nashville, Tennessee in a few weeks. Domi, proud sponsor of that trip. We're excited to have y'all there. I was telling someone the other day, they said, what's the difference between this trip and the last community trip you took? Well, 2 years ago, we went to Boulder, Colorado. We heard from Brad Fell. We learned a lot about how they built us a strong, thriving startup community there. One of the big differences is that 2 years ago, half the people that were on the trip, when I would mention Domi, didn't know what it was. 2 years later, Domi is the presenting sponsor of the trip. We are rapidly growing our influence in the startup world. What you've done with Launch Florida, incredibly impressive. You're building the network. You're getting people to think about Tallahassee in a way that they weren't normally going to think of us as. I think there's a huge opportunity to brand Tallahassee as a place that talent thrives in, that talent chooses to be a part of. And again, if you go back to the idea of being intentional and being deliberate and staking out your claim for the future, I think we need to make sure that when people are thinking about Tallahassee, that they're thinking about talent. And I think there's a way to do that where, you know, the call letters out at our airport are TLH. You know, you hear TLH used all over the community for different various reasons. But I think when you see TLH, you ought to think talent lives here. And I think that's something that our community can embrace, slap a hashtag on it and push it out when you're talking about who we are and who we want to be. And again, if you
I'm ready to go at it right now.
That's it. You want to go to the prom, talent you got to ask here. Some people. So let's tell people that talent lives here, and let's push that out to the world.
On the university level, I mean, that's been an initiative for a while. So a couple of years ago, we put some money behind this entrepreneurs in residence idea of hiring people who help develop entrepreneurs on campus in the different majors, not just business students, but communication and IT students, education students. How do you get people who are entrepreneurial in those programs to think about starting a business? How do we support that structure? So we think entrepreneurship is a key thing that we need to invest in, and we have been.
Right. And I would say that the community, the city itself, has also woken up to that same reality. And it's a laundry list of exciting new initiatives, some of which you named, some of which Jay's named. The momentum is clearly shifting. Thank you guys for doing this today. I think it's been a great discussion about talent in the startup capital, Tallahassee, Florida. Jay, Ebe, thank you very much. Appreciate y'all doing this.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you very much.
All right. Until next time, this is Startup Capital. We'll see you soon.
This has been a recording brought to you by Cuddlesoft, the idea-driven developers. For more on Tallahassee's startup community, the business of technology, and the latest in software development, visit www.cuddlesoft.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in next time for the next edition of the Startup Capital Podcast.